Hey, people, listen up. It's a fucking lockdown right now.
Come off it. We're not in a prison drama, are we?
We are in a prison drama. This is the fucking Shawshank Redemption, right? But with more tunneling through shit, no fucking redemption.
Screw you guys. I'm going home.
Sheriff, this is no time to panic. This is the perfect time to panic.
It's not the end of the world.
I ain't going with you. I'll go with Child.
Hey, fuck you, Palmer!
I'm going with you!
Who says I want you going with me?
All right, cut the bullshit!
Has the whole world gone crazy?
Hey! Everybody calm the fuck down.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Holmes Movies Recommends. My name is Anders Holmes, and as always, I'm joined by my brother Adam over Skype. Oh, sorry, Zoom.
Yes, get your
Skype, get your Zoom. Right. Same thing.
Well, essentially, it's just that one of them is now in forever associated with coronavirus. Howdy, how are you?
I'm good. Yeah, weather is nice. Been had a few little jobs here and there over the past few weeks, which has been good. Sound stuff. Yeah, how have you been? You've been on vacation.
I went traveling. I went to the West, and I was in Arizona.
The West.
Yes, I had a lovely time. I recommend, if you are vaccinated, that you should travel because it is a joyous thing to do.
Did you still have to wear like masks on the plane and everything like
oh,
that?
Oh yeah, yeah, of course, yeah. And you know, it's America, so you have all kinds of people. You see all kinds of people out and about, but you know what? It's all good because we're all God's children, and you know, we can all get along. Something like that. There are a lot of idiots in the world.
I know. I see them on the internet.
Yes.
Most of them have careers in high office, which is even worse.
Yes, I avoided the news and social media when I was away, and it was very happy actually. I'd nothing really happened, and I got back and I felt very refreshed for it. So I can highly recommend to anyone out there to just not go on Twitter. It really is very good for your mental health.
Yeah, that is true. I think keeping sane, particularly at this time.
Yeah, take that as a recommendation. Holmes Movies recommends don't go on Twitter.
Add a drop of lavender to your bath.
Yes, exactly.
Drink some honey.
You were such a like pedant because you decided to point out that someone had spelled Tandy Newton's name wrong and then you got blocked.
Yeah, I did. Well, I wasn't the only one that did that, and then he blocked other people as well.
Don't blame him, you bunch of fucking nerds.
No, but it's just like, you know, of course,
I'm joking.
It
just shows what a fucking cesspool it is, doesn't it?
No, but also that, I mean, she has reclaimed her name, and if you are gonna,
I mean, I'm just
like, that's her name.
I know. It's just absurd, this idea that, you know, people are having these arguments about celebrities on their phones. Basically.
Yeah, I know. But also, it's like, if you did make a mistake, just own up to it. Don't be just a pussy and block somebody, because then you just make yourself, you lose.
I think you're about to get blocked for using the word pussy.
Sorry. Yeah. Wuss or coward, spineless, invertebrate. One of those is better.
Yeah.
Ted Cruz, as I call him.
Mm. Yeah. Anyway.
So it's my recommendation today. I got made fun of the last time I made a recommendation, and it made me sort of look at like a Zack Snyder lovey-dovey fanboy, and which was not the impression I wanted to give, even though I am a fan of him. Mm-hmm. And stuff like that. So I'm going back a little bit to, I've been watching a few films, new films over the past few weeks, and I've been a bit spoiled for choice of what I want to recommend, but I think I am going to recommend this film to you because I think this might be a good film for you because I think you're a fan of the person who directed it.
Hey.
And I did watch this film on Memorial Day.
Right.
Along with another war film called The Bridge at Remagen, which was actually, it was not great, but it was pretty good for what it was. Robert Vaughn plays a German captain in that film, a major, and he's
I've never seen The Bridge at Remagen. It always seemed to be on television when I was growing up, and I never caught the beginning of it, so I never watched it. But it's got George Segal in it, hasn't it?
Yeah, George Segal's really good. It's bleak, and it's also very dour in places, because like George Segal is quite he's, you know, it's at the end of the war, and I think he's bitter and angry and want it to end. And also the Germans are fighting, and their sort of their lines are, you know, just, you know, Robert Vaughn has.
I know about the fucking Rhine crossing, but
yeah.
I mean, it is. I will say, like, you know, as bleak as that is, it's also good the Germans lost.
Yeah, I mean, it does have a bit of a moment.
just to make it very, very clear, the Germans losing is a good thing.
Yes, we all hate the Nazis.
Whether it's in the World Cup or in the Second World War, the Germans not doing well is what we want.
Yeah, well, there's a moment in the movie where they have like this little bit of a message in the film where Robert Vaughn is with another German commander and they hear planes and he's like, "Are they ours or the them?" And then the German guy he's with says, "The enemy," and then he says like, "Well, who is the enemy?"
Ooh.
Yeah. So it's a little...
That's stupid.
it is a bit, it's very...
No, you're not recommending this film,
no,
are you?
No, I'm not recommending that. I'm recommending a Samuel Fuller film called Fix Bayonets.
Oh, I've heard of this. I've never seen it, though.
Yeah. So I've only seen a couple of his films. The first film of his, which is also a war film, was the Big Red One with Lee Marvin and Mark Hamill.
That's an epic film.
Yeah. And so this film is set during the Korean War, came out in 1951. And
you don't see a lot of Korean War films.
No, you don't. I wrote it in my review of the film on our blog. Like, you don't see that many films about the Korean War, and also you don't see that many films about the First World War. I mean, of course we had 1917, but no, hasn't been that many films about it. And
the sequel is yet to come out,
1918. So,
and then 1919, which is basically 2020.
He had directed another Korean War film that came out before this called Steel Helmet, and that was his fourth.
Steel Helmet,
yes, that was the film that he made before this.
Hmm.
So okay. As I went through Samuel Fuller's IMDb profile, I did find this quote of his, which I think gives a sense of his character, but also of the films and what he wanted his audience to feel from them. And there's two quotes, actually. So one of them is, "The only way to bring the real experience of war to a movie audience is by firing a machine gun above their heads during the screening."
Yeah.
That's a perfect way to bring him up. And he also said, "Am I a cult director? Yeah, I love all that. I want to join the cult of the 100 to 200 million grocers and still make an artistic picture." So, I've been slowly making my way through his filmography. I've seen Pick Up on South Street, which is a great film, 40 Guns and Shot Corridor, which I'm a big fan of. And I do feel like there is a very savage and fearless nature to his films. There is like a very unflinching and harsh seediness, and he really strives for authenticity. There was another filmmaker who made a war film called A Walk in the Sun with Dana Andrews, and he had fought in World War One, and Samuel Fuller had fought in World War Two. He sent him a letter, Samuel Fuller, to Lewis Milestone, which said, "Why a man of your caliber should resort to a colonel's technical advice on what happens in a platoon is something I'll never figure out. When colonels are back in their garrison hutments where they belong, I'll come out with a yarn that won't make any doggy that was ever on the line wretch with disgust."
Wow. I mean, he's really, I mean, you're right, like Fuller is like, he is he's the real thing, and he's younger than like John Ford and John Huston and Frank Capra and those guys who were sent out as like, you know, propaganda filmmakers or whatever, or just sort of general observers during the war. I mean, he actually fought in the war, and I think
he did, and
I don't even think he was an officer, like he was just a private in the army, and he was
an infantryman in the 16th.
He's just like, and being an infantryman in the Second World War was, you know, it was not fun. At times it would have been very similar to World War One. The levels of casualties could be enormous. There were certain units that did not, like, that sustained 100% casualties. Like, you know, it was, you want to be pretty much anywhere else. So it's like, he's got that amazing kind of visceral bitterness and probably like a touch of PTSD from the war. But it's amazing how his films have this kind of like raw energy to them. Pick Up on South Street, I always think about the scene. There's a fight scene towards the end where a character gets pulled down a flight of steps and you just really feel it. And then there's, you know, the bits in Shot Corridor, which are just like astonishingly like full on. And there's a crazy Western that he made with Rog Steiger called The Run of the Arrow.
I haven't seen that.
The kind of twisted, fucked up version of Dances with Wolves, where a Confederate veteran goes to hide out with the Sioux Indians. I think they're all played by like Charles Bronson and Sarita Montiel. But like, yeah, it's a fucking crazy. Yeah. I mean, and I mean, he feels unhinged, and some of it, and I think his films slightly suffer for it. But they like one scene I always think about is in The Big Red One, where there's the shootout in the mental asylum.
Yeah, that's a very
like, weird. Okay, Sam, we get it. Like, see a fucking shrink.
Yeah, I mean, he did see a lot of action. He fought in places like North Africa, Italy, France, and he also in Belgium and Czechoslovakia. And he was also at Falkenau, where they helped liberate a German concentration camp. So I guess
yeah, he dramatizes in
The Big Red One.
And it's interesting, he gives himself a cameo in The Big Red One close to that scene, doesn't he? Like towards the end.
Yeah, so yeah, he
not
does
here to talk about The Big Red One.
We're here to talk about fixed bayonets. Fixed bayonets because it has
bayonets
because it has an exclamation at the end.
Yeah.
And nice little reference to Zulu there. That was nice.
Oh, I was doing Gettysburg.
Oh.
Well, yeah, well, what's his name from Dumb and Dumber? Not Jim Carrey, the other one.
Oh, Jeff Daniels. Yeah.
He has a great scene where it just goes, burn it! And then they charge down, they beat the Confederates, and everyone's happy.
Yeah. So, as I said, it is set during the Korean War. It's set during the First Winter, during the Red Chinese intervention. An entire division is in withdrawal, and a 48-man platoon...
What, from heroin? I need a hitman.
No, that was the Vietnam War. No. Ah! So...
Yes. Hi-oh!
That was a bit of a Johnny Carson joke there. I felt pretty proud of that. You can tell your grandmother that.
Oh, shut up, Anders. Get on with it.
So, yeah, an entire division is in retreat. And so left behind as a rear guard at a chokehold is 48 men.
Are you reading this off a teleprompter? Why do you go into this robot voice when you read stuff? Can't you just tell me the
bottom? Okay, fine.
Use your own words. Try and use your own words instead of reading the IMDb summary. Any fucker can do that.
No, I'm reading my thing. I wrote about it a while ago. So anyway, so...
Why does it read like a fucking robot wrote it? Be a better writer.
Okay, fine. 48 men are left to sort of help. They're at
okay,
this place.
Go back to reading your thing. You're just saying sort of all the time.
Okay, fine. So they're basically going to fight an oncoming enemy army and give the impression that there is
this
a lot...
This is a disaster. We have to end this episode.
So, okay. They
48
are...
men, Korea, winter.
Yeah, winter. They're left to sort of...
Withdrawal.
They're left to defend and give the rest of their sort of division...
They're a rear guard.
They're a rear guard giving the rest of their men a chance to escape across a bridge and... So it's a very sort of rocky, wintry location. Very, very well shot, and I do like a war film set during this time. It's very nice. It's a very simple film, but it's very engaging, and there's a lot of three-dimensional characters, and they're all played by fairly unknown actors. Although there is one familiar face, and that is Mr. James Dean, who shows up at the end of the film.
What?
Yeah, he has a little cameo. So I think that sells the realism and the intensity of the film. And the only real noticeable actor is Gene Evans, who plays the battle-hardened Sergeant Rock. He was the deputy in War Wagon. Remember that film?
Yeah, I remember the War Wagon. I can't...
It's like, I just saw him at the saloon and Lomax is in there, that guy. He's the...
Huh.
Yeah, okay, sorry. Oh, yeah.
Just apropos of nothing, I was drinking whiskey the other night and I decided to make a list on Letterboxd of all of the John Wayne movies I've seen, and I ordered them from most left-wing to most right-wing.
Oh, that's nice.
I went through his films and decided to which ones were the most kind of like politically, you know, positive, and which ones were crazily on the right.
Yeah.
And I think The War Wagon was somewhere in the middle.
Nice.
So, in terms of quality, though, garbage.
So, yeah, it's a very big ensemble of characters. And I mean, Gene Evans is one of the main characters in the film, but also one of the other main characters is Richard Basehart, who plays Corporal Denno. And Denno is a man who does not like the idea of being responsible for everything, and he would rather take orders than give the orders himself. And the fear of being left with leading the men, the rest of the men, becomes a bit of a reality when one by one all the sort of platoon's commanding officers get killed, and so he's sort of left with, and it sort of hits him, it's, you know, it is a, it's him, it's this idea of like standing up and taking charge and, you know, taking charge and taking responsibility when you need to. And I think it does. And he does that in a very, and Samuel Fuller does that in a very moving way. I mean, even though he is very hindered by the limitations of the budget and the sets, I think they really do give it their all. Like, it's a very tightly made film. It's gripping, you know, even though the, you know, it's like, it's a 90 minute film, but it, you know, it's just a lot of great moments. And there's, you know, really a lot of great action scenes, but also like the film really comes alive in these moments, in these sort of quiet downtime scenes. And there's a really good moment where this camera follows around on the characters one by one, and then you hear their inner thoughts, and some of it's quite humorous and some of it's quite moving. And I think he uses the voiceover very well. And he also, like, he frames actors in like really big close-ups. And I think that's really good. And you really get a sense of like their intense emotions. And I think sounds, that's really good.
It sounds a little bit similar to some of the more like warlike bits of some of the more intense bits of Paths of Glory.
Yeah, it has that kind of feeling. I mean, yeah, there is no real sentimentality or schmaltz. Like, it's very straightforward. And yeah, there's
you're a not lot of find that in a Sam Fuller movie.
Yeah, there's a lot of grit, a lot of cigar chomping. It overcomes its B movie limitations, and it becomes more than just some B action film. And you know, he still managed to make a very engaging and a very intimate war film. And you know, about responsibility and courage. And you know, it's a very large scale story, but told on a very emotional level and done in a very simple and an effective way, and it pays off very well. And it's very realistic, even though, yeah, of course it's filmed on a set, but it feels real. And it, you know, shoots in very sort of close quarters, and it's quite exciting and thrilling, especially when a tank shows up. And they, like, the voiceover shows, like, as soon as the tank shows up, it's all over, that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's very much worth a watch. I have a Blu-ray or a dual format Blu-ray DVD from Eureka, Masters of Cinema.
They do a great thing. So that series is fantastic. If the Eureka people are listening, I would love some free content.
Yes. It's quite hard. It was quite hard to get a hold of. I found this on a Danish website, and it was the last one on that website. So I was very happy to get a hold of it.
So where can normal people? They just have to stream it or something.
I think you could probably stream it or rent it. I think it may be available on iTunes or something like that. If you go on Letterboxd, I'm sure there's a place.
I think it's pronounced Letterboxd.
Letterboxd.
I think so. I don't know. For the first time recently, I saw an article about Letterboxd. According to them, you can rent it on Amazon or iTunes or Google or any other. Yeah, so you know, that's yes. Fine.
But seeing as we're related, you can just borrow the Blu-ray off me.
Well, yes, I know I can do that, but we're supposed to also be helping the listeners.
Yes. So yeah, I'm sure it is readily available somewhere. So yeah, go on to Letterboxd and you'll find it.
Yes. Well, good. I look forward to fixing bayonets and watching this movie.
Yeah, it's very good fun. I can't say fixed bayonets without having like Stephen Fry in my head. I was like, fixed bayonets, 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
Five! I mean,
yeah, it's just
there's a lot of that.
General Melchett quality. And of course Michael Caine in Zulu. And I mean, I think it's one of those no one really makes films like this anymore, I guess, but you know, there was a time when you could say like forward yo and like, give all the commands, fire, fix bayonet. I feel like almost the people who sort of burst this bubble were Monty Python with run away, run away. I don't know. Maybe it'll come back. But I feel like war films now have, we've gone through the Oliver Stoneification of the genre, and now it's all just, it's guys, looking down at a puddle while they contemplate, how fucked up everything is.
And having like a Terrence Malick.
What happened to
voiceover?
Good old-fashioned war movies?
Yeah. Well, my friend Callum Byrne, he did like a good old sort of very sort of nostalgic.
Is it called Our Shining Sword or something?
Lancaster Skies, yes.
Lancaster Skies.
It was originally called Our Shining Sword, but then they changed the title.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. I think one of my friends from school was in that movie.
I think so.
Tom Gill. Good on you, Callum, if you're listening. I have an endless appetite for World War II films and generally anything related to that topic. So, okay, should we knock this on the head before it gets really boring?
Yes. Yeah, Fix Bayonets. That's my recommendation of the day. Do check back to see what Adam will be recommending.
Damn straight.
Yes. Well, you can find us online, Twitter, at Holmes Movies Pod. Adam is the Northampton Dane. He's also on Instagram, and you can check out all his photos from his
little... Yeah, my holiday snaps.
Yeah, his little vacay pics.
Vacay pics, Jesus
Christ. Just wanted to see your reaction.
Ugh. Yeah. I'm tired. Okay, can we leave?
Forgot what I was going to say. I just threw a little...
We're on all the platforms. Download, rate, subscribe.
Yes, and do please check
don't
out
rate our, us if you don't like us. Only rate us if you want to give us 5 stars or higher.
Yeah, and do check out all our episodes of Bond Backwards. That was a very fun...
Bond Backwards is done.
Yeah.
So now we have to do, like, Indiana Jones backwards or something. I don't fucking know, but it's not...
Just on the subject of Indiana Jones, like, no. They're making number five.
Yeah. Okay, can we leave?
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm like, looking forward to it.
I don't want to talk about this, because it's just, like, my view on this, which is just make new films. Leave the old films, make new films.
I think they're just trying to get another film out of them and just make up for Kingdom of the Crystal Skull and just hoping.
Don't care. Yeah. Leave it. Yeah. Leave it alone. Make a new film.
Yes.
I'm tired of all these fucking remakes.
Okay. Well, see you later then. Bye.
Yeah, goodbye. And I'm sorry for all the swearing and negativity. But yes, goodbye. Have a nice day.
Positive.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Do. And go out in the world and do something nice today. I know I will.
Yes.
You know what my thing today, actually, just one final thing. I'm going to my friend's house. They have got a projector set up in their barn, and we are going to watch Close Encounters of the Third Kind, which I think is the perfect film to watch in a barn on a projector. Okay, let's get out of here.
Burn. You know, the bit in the movie. It's like, you know, they do like the sound effects. It's like... Or something like that.
This has descended into madness. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.